mina ei ole Daniel Meeder, I am not Daniel Meeder. Aga ma tulin siia, et teda teile tutvustada. Et Daniel Meeder koos oma abikaasa Svitlanaga on varem küll Tartu kirikus käinud, aga nad on, ta on nüüd esimest korda, Daniel kõneleb meile täna siin ja kui keegi teda veel ei tunne või ei tea, siis Daniel koos oma perega tulid missionäritena Eestisse tööle. Ma täpselt nüüd juba ei mäletagi, aga möödunud aastal. Ja nad on siis nüüd jõudnud ka meile siia Tartusse külla. Ja nad tulid meile siia Jaapanist. Nii et nad töötasid mitu aastat seal, rajasid seal ühe koguduse. Ja nende südame soov oli tulla siis siia poole. Ja meil oli ka liidus selline vajadus, et väga tahaksime saada missioni perekonda Eestisse ja nemad selle kutse siis ka vastu võtsid, mille üle meil on väga hea meel. Ja nii Daniel kui Svitlana mõlemad täna siis töötavad meil Eesti liidus ja teenivad meid missionäri täna erinevates ülesannetes ja rollides. Ja Daniel on pärit siis tegelikult Brasiiliast ja Svitlana on pärit Ukrainast. Jah. Nad saavad aru küll, näe, noogutavad. So you can understand what I'm actually saying. So welcome, Daniel, and we are happy to receive what God is going to tell us through you. You can always, of course, introduce yourself too if you want to add something.
Well, maybe I should because I don't know what you said.
Et võib-olla ta peaks midagi lisama enda kohta, sest ei tea, mis ma rääkisin.
But I'm sure you said many good things.
Ma loodan, et ma usun, et rääkisid palju häid asju.
We came straight from Japan to Estonia.
Tulime otse Jaapanist Eestisse.
And we say that the best souvenir that we brought from Japan is Sofia. She was born there.
Ja parim suveniir, mille me sealt kaasa võtsime, oli Sofia, kes seal sündis.
We are loving Estonia.
Me armastame Eestit.
Of course, we arrived here almost in summer.
Kuigi jah, me jõudsime siia peagu suvel.
But I'm sure we're gonna love the winter, at least the first one.
Aga ma usun, et me kindlasti armastame ka talve vähemasti esimest.
And we are loving the people, you guys are amazing.
Ja meile inimesed siin väga meeldivad, te olete väga toredad.
And all our experiences have been very good, like we met good people, good friends.
Ja kõik meie kogemused on olnud väga toredad, oleme kohanud toredaid inimesi ja saanud sõpru juurde.
And this family is one of them.
Ja see perekond on üks nendest.
So today I want to talk a little bit to you with you about three stories in the Bible.
Täna soovin teiega jagada kolme lugu piiblist.
These three stories, they have something in common.
Need kolm lugu on omavahel seotud.
Jesus is dealing with us, with people here on earth.
Jeesus tegeles inimestega siin maa peal meiega.
But the funny thing is like in each story Jesus does something completely different than from the previous story.
Aga naljakas on see, et kõikides nendes lugudes Jeesus käitub täiesti teistmoodi kui mõnes teises olukorras.
And I have a challenge for you. I want you to try to figure out why is Jesus acting the way he is.
Ja ma esitan teile väljakutse, et te mõtleksite, miks Jeesus erinevates lugudes nii erinevalt käitub.
So the first story is in John chapter 2.
Nii siis esimene lugu on Johannes evangeeliumi teises peatükis.
It's a very known, very well known story and I'm sure you heard about it before, but we're gonna talk about it again a little bit.
Et see on kindlasti teie jaoks väga hästi tuntud lugu, et aga me räägime sellest ikkagi natukene.
So, Andres, am I able to get the microphone and walk a little bit?
Kas ma võin saada mikrofoni, et natuke kõndida?
Usually I need to move a little bit to feel a little bit more connected to you. So, in this, thank you very much. In this first story, we see Jesus was invited to a wedding in Cana.
Nii siis selles esimeses loos Jeesus on kutsutud Kaana pulma.
Just gonna grab my Bible. We see that Jesus was invited and he brought all the disciples together with him.
Ja Jeesus kutsub kõik oma jüngrid sinna kaasa.
I want to read with you just verse 1-3.
Ja soovin teile lukeda salmid 1-3.
Verse 1 says that on the third day there was a wedding and the mother of Jesus was there.
Esimesest salmist loeme ja kolmandal päeval olid pulmad Galilea Kaanas ja Jeesuse ema oli seal.
Verse 2 says that Jesus and the disciples were invited.
Teine salm ütleb ka Jeesus ja ta jüngrid olid kutsutud pulma.
And verse 3 talks about the problem. There was no more wine.
Ja kolmas salm räägib probleemist, ei olnud enam veini.
But for us to understand a little bit better about this problem, let's try to dive into this story at the time that it happened.
Aga püüame nüüd natukene sukelduda selle probleemi olemusse ajal, millal see juhtus.
At that time, weddings were a little bit different than nowadays.
Siis olid pulmad natuke teistsugused kui praegu.
So for example, Andres, when you want to invite your friends, when you wanted to invite your friends for your wedding, how did you invite them?
Et Andres, näiteks kui sina tahtsid kutsuda inimesi oma pulma, kuidas sa nad kutsusid? I'm supposed to answer.
Yes.
In English or both ways? Yeah, okay. Me saatsime kirjaliku kutse kõikidele, kelle me tahtsime seal näha. So we sent a letter of invitation to every person we wanted to have them.
Yes, yeah. And on the right time, I guess they showed up.
Ja õigel ajal need ilmusid kohale.
If Andres was living at that time, his invitation would be a little bit different.
Kui ma oleksin elanud sel ajal, siis oleks minu kutse olnud natuke teistsugune.
That's how it would had worked.
Järgmine on see, kuidas see oleks siis juhtunud.
Let's say that you all live in the same village and now you're invited to his wedding.
Kujutage ette, et te kõik elate samas külas ja te olete kutsutud sellesse pulma.
There was no invitation, no little papers, no email, no nothing.
Tella oli olnud mingisuguseid paperil kutseid, e-maili, mitte midagi sellist.
On this specific day, Andres and his parents would leave his house and go to each one of your houses.
Et lihtsalt oli kindel päev välja valitud ja nad käisid kõik majad läbi.
So for example, he would arrive at his brother's house and say, "Are you ready?" and say, "Yes, let's go."
Et ta võis jõuda tema venna kodusse ja öelda, "Oled sa valmis?" ütles, "Jah, ma olen, lähme."
So his brother would come outside with some kind of musical instrument.
Ja siis tema vend tuleb majast välja, võtab kaasa mingisuguse pilli.
And together with his family now and your family, you both would go singing and playing until the next family.
Ja siis see minu perekond, näiteks minu venna perekond, lauldes ja mängides läheb järgmise perekonna juurde.
And now they come to your house.
Nüüd lähevad nad sinu majja.
And of course you're waiting, but I don't think you can carry the piano, so you would bring another kind of instrument and play together with the crowd.
Ja siis sina tood järgmise pilli ja ühined selle seltskonnaga.
And one by one, house by house, you would invite every one of your friends.
Ja niimoodi maja haaval kutsuksid sa kõik oma sõbrad kaasa.
And the last house, guess which house was it?
Ja mis te arvate, milline see viimane maja on, kuhu minnakse niimoodi?
The fiance's house.
See on siis pruudi maja.
So she would open the door and all the guests are outside of her house.
Ja siis pruudi maja uks avatakse ja kõik need külalised on seal väljas teda tervitamas.
Singing and playing instruments.
Lauldes ja pilli mängides.
She would join the crowd and together they would go back to his house.
Ja minnakse tagasi siis peigmehe majja.
And now the party, the celebration would start.
Ja nüüd siis algab alles pidu.
Another question, how many hours did your celebration last more or less?
Teine küsimus, et kui mitu tundi teie meie pidustus siis kestis? Ei, meie oma, jah.
3-4? Depends if it shows late or not.
Maybe, I think we had 4-5 hours.
4-5 hours, okay.
Yeah, 4-5 tundi.
Good, quite long.
At that päris pikalt.
Sometimes it would take 3-4-5
vahel 3-4-5 tundi
days.
Aga siis päevi.
4-5 days.
Siis võttis aega 3-4 päeva.
You need to ask permission to leave work for 5 days because you have a party.
Sul tuleb küsida töölt vabastust 5 päevaks, sest siin ootab ees pikk pulm.
But if you're a little bit richer, maybe a 7-8-10 days.
Aga kui sa oled natukene jõukam, siis sa tähistaksid pulmi 7-8-10 päeva.
If you have quite a lot of money, it could be 15 days.
Kui sul on palju raha, siis võid pulmi tähistada 15 päeva.
Jesus is in one of these celebrations
ja
for Jesus many days.
Ja Jeesus on kutsutud siis ühele sellisele pulmapeole mitu päeva.
And now there is a disaster.
Ja nüüd juhtub õnnetus.
No more wine.
Ei ole enam veini.
When I was a child and I used to hear this story, I was thinking, so what? Drink something else.
Ja kui mina olin väike laps, siis ma mõtlesin, mis probleem see on. Joogu midagi muud.
Orange juice?
Näiteks apelsinimahla.
I don't know, just figure out. But there was something special with wine or grape juice, sorry.
Midagi erilist oli selles veinis, selles viinamarja mahlas, joogis.
Wine was a symbol of prosperity.
Vein sümboliseeris jõukust.
A symbol of God's blessings.
See oli Jumala õnnistuse sümbol.
And most of all, a symbol of hospitality.
Ja kõige rohkem oli see külalislahkuse sümbol üks.
So no more wine sent a message.
Kui nii siis, kui vein otsa sai, saatis sõnumi.
God is not blessing this union.
Et Jumal ei õnnista enam seda liitu.
Andrew's parents are not very hospitable. They are not very nice to us because they're sending us away.
Vanemad ei ole just väga külalislahked, sest need vein sai otsa, nad saadavad meid ära.
And this celebration will be remembered for forever because it was no more wine in there.
Ja seda sündmust mäletatakse igavesti just sellisena, et see oli olnud enam veini.
Mary senses the problem and comes to Jesus and said, Jesus, there is a problem, there is no more wine.
Ja Maria nüüd tajub selle probleemi olemust ja tuleb Jeesus juurde ja ütleb, et enam ei ole veini.
So now I have a question for you.
Ja nüüd mul on teile küsimus.
This was his first miracle.
See oli Jeesus esimene ime.
So before this miracle, there was zero miracles.
Nii siis enne seda oli nullimet.
Why do you think Mary is asking Jesus for help if she has never seen a miracle from him before?
Miks küll Maria küsib Jeesuselt imet sellises olukorras, kui ta ei ole varem kunagi näinud, et Jeesus imesid teeks?
Some people say that probably she was expecting for miracles to come.
Mõned arvavad, et tal oli selline ootus, et imed siiski hakkavad sündima.
But there is also another possible explanation.
Aga on ka teine võimalik selgitus.
Jesus lived until 30 years old without performing any miracles.
Sorry, can you say it again?
Until 30 years old, Jesus never had done any miracle before.
Et kuni 30 aastaseks saamiseni Jeesus ei olnud imesid teinud.
But many times you don't need a miracle to be useful.
Aga tihti ei ole vaja selleks teha imetegusid, et olla kasulik.
Many times you can think and together with friends maybe you can creatively find solutions for the problems.
Tihti saad ju olla lihtsalt või leida lahendus probleemile.
I really believe that Jesus was always how can I say awake and with a clear mind looking for solutions, looking for ways to help each other.
Ja me usume, et Jeesusel oli ka selline selge mõtteviis, mõistus alati kalkuleerides, mõeldes, kuidas on võimalik leida lahendusi ja aidata inimesi.
That's why Mary comes to him and say, listen, we need your help. I don't know how, but help us to think about a solution.
Nii siis me arvame sellepärast, Maria tuli Jeesuse juurde ja ütles, et kuule, et aita meil leida lahendus sellele probleemile.
And then Jesus answers on verse 4. Woman, what does this has to do with me?
Ja Jeesus neljandas salmis vastab sellele, et mis on sul minuga asja, naine?
Again, when I was a kid, I used to read this and say, how rude.
Kui mina olin laps, siis mõtsin jälle, et oh, kui ebaviisakas.
But then, again, this was a normal way that people used to talk at the time and Jesus was being very polite to his mom.
Tegelikult see oli viis, kuidas tollal kõneldi ja Jeesus oli väga viisakas.
Proof of that is the next verse. She says to the servants, do whatever he says.
Selle tõestus on järgmine salm, kus ema ütles teenritele, mida iganes tema teile ütleb, seda tehke.
You know this story. He does a miracle and the water becomes wine. The best wine they have ever tried.
Nii siis te teate, mis edasi juhtus. Jeesus muutis vee veiniks, parimaks veiniks, mida oli seal pulmas joodud.
But also verse 9 says that nobody knew it. Nobody. Only the servants.
Aga üheksas salm ütleb ka, et mitte keegi ei teadnud sellest, mis oli juhtunud, ainult teenrid.
And here comes my special question for you.
Ja nüüd tuleb minu see küsimus teile.
Why?
Miks?
Didn't Jesus say anything about the best present he could ever give to that family, to that new couple?
Miks ta ei öelnud midagi sellele perekonnale, sellest parimast kingitusest, mida ta sai neile selles olukorras teha?
When I was at university, almost like everybody else, I was poor because at the university you don't have money to, you know, waste.
Kui ma käisin ülikooli, siis ma olin ka, nagu õpilased ikka, olin suht vaene, mul ei olnud raha, mida raisata.
And sometimes you're invited to go to parties, to go to weddings and birthdays.
Et vahel kutsuti mind ka pulmadesse pidudele.
And I remember that I had a thing that I used to do when I would go to weddings. I would buy a gift that was not very expensive.
Et kui ma läksin siis kuskile, kuhu mind kutsuti, ostsin kingituse, mis ei olnud väga kallis.
But I would put inside a big box.
Aga ma panin selle suure karbi sisse.
And then when I was coming to the wedding, usually there is a table with presents. I would put the present there.
Ja kui ma tulin, läksin pulma ja see oli laud, panin ma selle kingituse sinna laua peale.
But I would forget to put a card with my name.
Aga ma unustasin panna sinna kaardi.
So everybody saw nimega. That I brought a present, but nobody would remember that mine is the cheap one inside the box.
Nii siis, et kõik nägid seda suurt kingitust, aga keegi teadnud, et seal sees oli odav kingitus.
But when you buy a beautiful present, you put a beautiful card and you put your name there. I want them to know that I'm giving a beautiful present.
Aga kui sa ostad ikkagi sellise ilusa väärtusliku kingitus, siis sa tahad oma nime ka sinna juurde panna, et sina selle ossid.
Jesus gave the best present ever. He saved that couple from forever shame, but didn't tell anyone.
Jeesus andis neile parima võimaliku kingituse, ta päästis selle perekonna häbist.
Why?
Miks?
That's the first question.
Miks? See on esimene küsimus.
Miks? So keep this story in your mind, keep this question in your mind. I'm
going to
go to the second
meelde,
one.
Ja see küsimus meelde, lähme nüüd teise loo juurde.
So the second one is in Luke 19.
Teise loo leiame Luuka 19. peatükist.
Again, you know this story is about Zacchaeus.
Jällegi, te tunnete lugu Sakkeusest.
Who was very rich.
Kes oli väga rikas.
But also very short.
Aga ka väga lühike.
A liar, a traitor.
Valetaja, petis.
And not very loved by his people.
Ja mitte just väga armastatud oma inimeste poolt.
This story shows that Zacchaeus is unhappy, he's unsatisfied in his life. Something is missing.
Ja lugu räägib sellest, et ta oli üpris õnnetu ja midagi oli tema elust just kui puudu.
But he doesn't understand, why am I not happy? I have everything, I have money, clothes, houses. Why am I not happy?
Aga ta küsib endalt, et miks ma siis ei ole õnnelik, kui mul on kõik olemas, mul on raha, mul on riided.
Maybe then he heard about a certain Jesus who used to talk to people and people used to be happy after that.
Ja äkki siis ta kuulis Jeesusest ja sellest, kuidas need inimesed, kes olid Jeesusega kohtunud, tundsid ennast pärast õnnelikuna.
Now he makes a decision. So I'm going to go and see Jesus. Maybe he can fix me.
Ja nüüd ta teeb otsuse, et ma lähen ja kohtun temaga, äkki ta saab mind ka terveks teha.
And the Bible says that he goes to see Jesus on verse 3, but he couldn't see Jesus.
Ja kolmandas salmist loeme, et ta tahtis teda näha, aga ta ei suutnud tema nii jõuda.
And usually I ask, why do you think he couldn't see Jesus?
Ma küsin endalt, et miks ta siis ei suutnud Jeesust näha.
And people used to say because he was short.
Ja inimesed tihti vastavad sellepärast, et oli lühike.
He couldn't see through the crowd.
Et ta ei näinud, kuna rahvas oli ees.
But I have another challenge for you. How come he was short and he couldn't see if the children could reach Jesus and see Jesus, short children.
Aga mul on teile väljakutse, et kuidas on võimalik, et tema ei näinud Jeesust, kui lapsed olid Jeesuse juures ja nägid teda.
The problem was not because he was short. The problem was because the Jews didn't allow him to reach Jesus.
Probleem polnud mitte selles, et oli lühike, vaid selles, et juudid ei lasknud teda Jeesuse juurde.
The Jews, Jesus people.
Juudid. Jeesuse inimesed.
The descendants of Israel.
Iisraeli järeltulijad.
The chosen people.
Välja valitud rahvas.
The ones were supposed to talk about Jesus to the whole world.
Need, kes pidid Jeesusest kogu maailmale rääkima.
The ones were supposed to share the gospel with every nation.
Need, kes pidid jagama evangeeliumi kõigile rahvastele.
Now they are blocking people from seeing Jesus.
Ei lase nüüd inimesel Jeesuse juurde jõuda.
That made me think a lot.
See pani mind palju mõtlema.
Are we in some way making people having difficulties to reach Jesus?
See pani mind mõtlema, et kas ka meie vahestame inimeste jõudmise Jumala Jeesuse juurde keeruliseks?
How welcoming are us to the people outside?
Kui vastuvõtlikud, kui sõbralikud me oleme inimeste suhtes väljas poolt.
Are we helping the outsiders to come near Jesus or are we making more difficult for them to reach Jesus?
Kas me aitame inimesi jõuda Jeesuse juurde või me teeme hoopis selle nende jaoks raskemaks, et nad Jeesuse juurde jõuaksid?
Zacchaeus said, okay, if I can't see Jesus, no problem. I'm going to climb a tree and see him from far.
Ja Sakkeus mõtles, et no pole probleemi, kui ma ei suuda siit näha Jeesust, ma kolin ronin puu otsa ja näen teda eemalt.
Now I need you to try to imagine this scene, try to dive into this story.
No kujutage, püüdke nüüd ette kujutada seda seeni, seda mis oli juhtunud, juhtumas.
There is this rich guy with fancy clothes climbing a tree.
Kujutage ette ühte rikast meest uhkete riietega ronimas puu otsa.
Probably that was a funny sight and probably nobody saw it.
Ilmselt see oli natuke naljakas.
He's on top of the tree and Jesus is walking towards his direction.
Ta on puu otsas ja Jeesus kõnnib selle puu poole.
The whole crowd around Jesus.
Kogu seltskond puu ümber kõnnivad koos Jeesusega.
And the disciples too. And Zacchaeus, sorry.
Yeah.
And Zacchaeus is there hidden on top of the tree.
Yeah, sorry, can you say it again?
He's hidden on top of the tree. Nobody knows.
Aga keegi ei tea, et seal üleval on Sakkeus.
Jesus
on peidus.
Coming closer and closer.
Jeesus jõuab lähemale ja lähemale.
His heart is pumping now.
Tema süda nüüd peksleb.
He's getting kind of a little bit anxious.
Ta muutub natukene ärevaks.
And then suddenly Jesus stops.
Ja siis järsku Jeesus seisatub.
Just under the tree he stops.
Just puu all jääb ta seisma.
I imagine that Zacchaeus' heart was like pumping like
usun,
crazy.
Sel hetkel Sakkeuse süda võis väga kõvasti peksta.
And then very slowly Jesus looks up.
Ja siis Jeesus aeglaselt vaatab üles.
What do you think Zacchaeus was feeling at this time?
Mis te arvate, mida Sakkeus võis tol hetkel tunda?
I guess like is the most anxiety that he has ever felt before.
Ilmselt oli ta tundis suuremat ärevust kui ehk kunagi varem.
He doesn't know what's going to happen.
Ta ei tea, mis nüüd hakkab saama.
Those people hate him.
Need inimesed seal ümber ringi vihkavad teda.
What he has done, stealing from them and giving to the Romans, made him a traitor.
See, mida ta oli teinud raha oma rahvalt võttes ja andes seda roomlastele, muutis ta reetoriks.
In Jewish law he could be stoned, he could be killed.
Juudi seaduste kohaselt oleks võinud ta kividega surnuks visata.
He's just alive until now because he works for the Romans.
Ta on elus ainult see tõttu, et ta töötab roomlaste heaks.
But now there is a problem. Jesus is seen as a rebel.
Aga nüüd on siin probleem. Jeesus nähakse kui mingis mõttes mässajat.
And all these people believe that Jesus is gonna free them from the Romans.
Ja kõik need inimesed seal ümberringi uskusid, et Jeesus vabastab nad roomlaste käest.
They're just waiting for the right sign.
Nad lihtsalt ootavad seda õiget märki.
Just waiting for Jesus to start the rebellion so they can go and go against the Romans.
Nad ootavad, et Jeesus alustaks mingis mõttes mässu ja nad võiks temaga liituda.
And now Jesus looks up and there is this traitor on top of the tree.
Ja nüüd Jeesus vaatab üles ja seal puu otsas on reetur.
We don't know exactly what happened, but I'm going to show you that maybe they thought this is the sign.
Ma ei tea täpselt, mis juhtus, aga ma arvan, et nad võisid mõelda, et see äkki on nüüd märk.
You can see some Jews maybe taking some stones in their hands.
Võibolla kujutage ette, mõni juut võis juba maast kivi üles võtta.
Come on, Jesus. Is this the day that we're going to start the revolution?
Kas see ongi see päev, kus me alustame revolutsiooni?
Is this the day that we're going to start the war?
Kas see ongi see päev, kus me alustame sõda?
We are ready. We can take the Romans starting from the traitors.
Ja me võime alustada sõda roomlaste vastu ja alustame nendest reeturitest.
Just give the word, Jesus, and we're going to drop him from the tree.
Lihtsalt ütle ja me hakkame pihta.
And Jesus open his mouth.
Ja Jeesus avab oma suu.
And says, Zacchaeus, come down.
Zacchaeus, tule alla.
And maybe the Jews are thinking, this is it.
Ja nüüd võibolla juudid mõtlesid, et nüüd on see hetk käes.
But Jesus finished the phrase.
Aga Jeesus ütleb.
Because I'm coming to your home and have dinner with you.
Sest ma tahan tulla sinu koju ja koos sinuga õhtust süüa.
What?
Mida?
We're ready, Jesus.
Me
What
oleme
are you talking
valmis,
about?
Jeesus, teda surnuks viskama.
Verse 7 says that they were complaining with Jesus. It's written here.
Seitsmes salm ütleb, et ja nad nurisesid kõik. Tema on patuse mehe juurde öömajale läinud.
He's a sinner and the way to deal with sinners are with stones.
Ta on patune ja viis, kuidas me peaksime temaga toime tulema, on kividega.
But Jesus has a different way to deal with sinners.
Aga Jeesusel on teine meetod patusega toime tulemiseks, armastades.
Jesus was yes starting a revolution that day, but
jah,
was Jeesus, not against the Romans.
Ja Jeesus alustas tolpäeval revolutsiooni, aga see ei olnud mitte roomlaste vastu.
The revolution was inside Zacchaeus' heart.
Tema revolutsioon oli mõeldud olema inimese sees.
You know this story, Zacchaeus comes down very quickly and then he himself decides that he's going to change.
Ja me teame, kuidas see lugu edasi läheb. Ta tuli kiiresti puu otsast alla ja ta otsustas oma südames kõike muuta.
On the way back home, he talks to Jesus, I don't want to be holding hands with the devil anymore.
Ja kõndides tema kodupoole, ütles Jeesusele, ma ei taha enam saatana käest kinni hoida.
Because when you're walking, holding hands with Jesus, you cannot hold hands with the devil at the same time. You need to make a decision.
Et sest kui sa kõnnid Jeesusel käest kinni hoides, sa ei saa samal ajal teise käega hoida saatana käest kinni, sa pead tegema valiku.
And Zacchaeus made his decision.
Ja Zacchaeus tegi oma valiku.
So I'm going to ask you the same question I asked the first time.
Ja ma küsin nüüd uuesti teid see sama küsimuse, mille ma eelmine kord küsisin.
He was not asking for anything. Why did Jesus tell him to come down?
Et kui Zacchaeus oli puu otsas, ei küsinud temalt mitte midagi, miks Jeesus peatus ja ütles talle, et tule puu otsast alla.
At the wedding Jesus doesn't say anything.
Jeesus kaanapulmas ei ütle midagi.
Here he goes and he tells him to come down.
Siin ta läheb Zacchaeuse juurde ja ütleb talle, tule puu otsast alla.
And then a last story that I'm going to share with you with the same idea very quickly is in Luke chapter 8.
Ja kolmas lugu, mille ma kiiresti peatun, on Luuka 8. peatükis.
From verse 43.
43. salmist edasi.
This is a very moving story, very fast story.
Ja see on väga
moving fast drama.
See on väga selline
Jesus is walking, lots of people were around.
Eriline lugu.
There's a lady, she has a sickness.
On üks naine, kellel on haigus.
She has a blood flow for 12 years. She's bleeding for 12 years.
Ta on 12 aastat, tal on olnud 12 aastat veritõvi.
Maybe you already know at that time blood flow was a symbol of impurity.
Ja tol hetkel saadi sellest aru, kui see sümboliseeris ebapuhtust.
At Jesus time if you have that problem you are not allowed to go to the temple of the synagogue of anywhere public.
Et sel ajal ei olnud selline inimene lubatud sünagoogi mitte kuskile avaliku ruumi.
If I have this problem and then I touch Andres, he cannot go to the temple either.
Et kui minul on see probleem ja ma puudutan Andres, siis Andres ka ei tohi minna templisse.
So 12 years was not just a physical problem, this is a social problem.
Nii siis need 12 aastat ei olnud tema jaoks üksnes füüsiline probleem, vaid ka sotsiaalne probleem.
Remember that at that time they didn't have Netflix, they didn't have internet, they didn't have Zoom. They met on the street. They had relationship on the street.
Et tol ajal ei olnud Netflixi, ei olnud Zoomi, ei olnud teisi võimalusi. Inimesed kohtusid tänaval.
12 years and she's alone.
12 aastat olnud üksinda.
She cannot even hug anyone because she would make people impure.
Ta ei saanud siia kedagi kallistada, sest see oleks tähendanud, et see inimene on ebapuhas.
She's so desperate that she spends the whole money that everything she has, she spends and nothing helps.
Ta on nii meeleheitel, et ta püüab teha kõik selleks, et kulutada kogu oma raha, et abi saada ja miski ei aita.
Somebody tells her that Jesus could help.
Ja ta lootis, et äkki Jeesus saab teda aidata.
But there's a problem. She cannot go into public with this problem.
Aga on jällegi üks probleem, ta ei saa minna ju avalikkuse ette selle probleemiga.
The Bible says that Jesus is packed with people. People are everywhere. He's being squeezed by people.
Piiper räägib sellest, et inimesed olid igal pool Jeesuse ümber. Ta oli nende keskel, tihedalt nende keskel.
This story gives a hint that probably she needs to hide herself, she needs to disguise herself.
Ja Piibel maalib meile pildi sellest, et ilmselt selle naisel oli vaja ennast kuidagi peita, katta.
Otherwise she wouldn't be able to go into the middle of the crowd.
Muidu ta ei oleks saanud minna sinna rahva keskele.
And then now there you see this woman trying to reach Jesus, touching everyone, squeezing through the crowd.
Ja nüüd me kujutage ette, kuidas ta inimesi puudutades seal rahvamassist püüab teed leida Jeesuse juurde.
She's feeling sick, she's feeling tired because she has a problem, but at the same time she's afraid anyone could find out who she was.
Ta on haige, ta on väsinud, kuid samal ajal ta ka kardab, sest iga hetk võib keegi avastada, kes ta on ja mis olukorras ta on.
But this is the only opportunity, this is the only time that she can maybe get rid of this problem.
Aga see on võibolla ainus hetk, ainus võimalus tema jaoks see probleem lahendada.
And she goes, excuse me, and she's trying to reach Jesus, trying, and then she can reach a little bit of his clothes.
Ja ta püüab, vabandab ja lõpuks jõuab Jeesus juurde, et natukene tema riied puutuda.
Immediately she's healed.
Ja ta saab koheselt terve.
She's ready to go, she's ready to leave before anyone finds out.
Ja ta saab koheselt terveks ja ta võib sealt edasi liikuda.
When she's already on her way out,
ja kui ta püüab sealt vaikselt eemalduda,
Jesus says, stop everything.
Jeesus ütleb, stop, somebody, kõik jääge seisma.
Somebody touch me.
Keegi puudutas mind.
And then Peter says,
ja Peetrus ütleb,
Jesus, come on, of course, look at this, all this
Jeesus,
crowd.
Loomulikult vaata kogu seda rahva hulka. Mis juttu sa räägid?
Everybody's touching you.
Kõik puudutavad sind.
Very rude. Very rude.
Väga ebaviisakas.
But Jesus very kindly said, no, Peter, you're not understanding. Somebody touching me with a purpose.
Aga Jeesus ütles, ei, sa oled valesti aru saanud, keegi puudutas mind eesmärgiga.
Because you see all these people around me, they don't want anything.
Sest kõik need inimesed minu ümber, nad ei taha midagi.
They're just here because the crowd is here.
Nad on siin sellepärast, et inimesed on siin.
But someone is actually looking for something.
Aga keegi siin otsib midagi.
Someone came to me.
Keegi tuli.
Thinking that they need something from me.
Keegi tuli siia eesmärgiga minult midagi saama.
You know, it's very interesting. Jesus is not gonna give us anything that we don't want or don't ask for.
See on huvitav, et Jeesus ei anna meile midagi sellist, mida me ei küsi või mida me ei palu.
And that's why sometimes we go to the church, we go to places, we go to Jesus, but we come out empty because you are not actually looking for anything.
Sellepärast võib-olla ka vahel, kui me läheme kirikusse, läheme kuskile, Jumala teenistusele ja tuleme sealt tühjalt tagasi, sest me tegelikult ei otsi midagi.
If you're here today, what do you want from God?
Kui sa oled täna siin, mida sina Jumalalt soovid saada?
Inside your heart and your mind, what do you want from him?
Peale oma südames, oma meeles, mida sa Jumalalt ootad?
Because he will stop everything just to give what you need.
Sest ta peatub, et anda sulle seda, mida sa vajad.
Verse 47 says that now the woman saw that she could not hide anymore.
47. Salm ütleb, kui naine nägi, et ta ei saa varjule jääda,
so this means that she was hiding before.
Nii siis see räägib sellest, et ta püüdis ennast enne varjata.
But she got caught. Now
aga ta jäi vahele.
Review herself. And then the Bible says that she's trembling.
Ja Piibel ütleb, et ta värises.
And she falls on her knees.
Ja ta langes Jeesus ette maha.
And she confesses her sin.
Ja tunnistas üles oma patud.
Maybe people are ready also to punish her.
Ja võibolla ka siis olid jälle inimesed valmis seda kohe karistama.
Nobody saw that she was healed, but people saw that she was the sick woman who couldn't touch anyone but touched everyone.
Keegi näinud seda, et oli terveks saanud, aga inimesed nägid seda, et ta oli haige inimene, kes ei oleks tohtinud kedagi puutuda ja ta puudutas.
She's afraid, but then Jesus says.
Ta oli hirmunud, aga siis Jeesus ütles.
Daughter,
tütar.
Be okay, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go
sinu usk on su päästnud, mine rahuga.
Wait a minute, she was already going in peace.
Oodake, ta ju ei olnud ju minemas rahuga.
She was already healed and she was fine and she was leaving. Everything was fine.
Et ta oli ju saanud terveks, kõik oli hästi, ta juba rõõmuga vaikselt taandus ja lahkus.
Jesus calls everyone, tells everyone to stop, reveals her secret and then says, now you go in peace.
Nüüd Jeesus hoopis juhib kogu selle rahva tähelepanu temale ja ütleb siis talle, et mine rahuga.
Why?
Miks?
In the wedding, he
pulmas
gave the best gift, but didn't tell anyone.
Andis ta pruutpaarile parima kingituse, aga ta ei öelnud sellest mitte kellelegi midagi.
Now the woman is ready to go home, but he tells everyone to look at her, and now he says, now you go home.
Nüüd see veritõpine naine oli terveks saanud, oli lahkumas, ja Jeesus ütleb kõigile, et peatab, ta ütleb kõigile tema probleemi ja siis ütleb talle, mine rahus koju.
Kiks. Why? But if you see, what was the first word that Jesus says to her?
Mis oli see esimene sõna, mille Jeesus talle ütles?
Daughter.
Tütar.
Because you think healing your problem is going to be the solution of your life.
tütar, kui sa arvad, et selle probleemi lahendamine on sinu elu lahendus.
You think that what's going to bring you peace is to get rid of your sickness.
Kui sa arvad, et sinule toob rahu see, et sa vabaned oma haigusest.
But no.
Siis ma ütlen sulle ei.
What actually is going to bring you peace is when you understand that you are my daughter.
Mis sulle tõeliselt rahu toob, on see, kui sa mõistad, et sa oled mu tütar.
That's what actually will bring you peace in your life.
See toob tõesti rahu sinu ellu.
He tells everyone to stop because
ta ütleb kõigile,
you are my daughter.
Jääge seisma, et öelda kõigi kuuldes sellele naisele, et sina oled mu tütar.
He creates a whole drama because she needs to understand that actually what brings her peace is to understand I'm God's daughter.
Ta korraldab selle nõnda nimetud draama selleks, et anda sellele naisele tagasi selle kohta, et ta on Jumala tütar.
In the first story, Jesus doesn't need to review his miracle because he was already invited.
Esimeses imeloos pulmas, ta oli olnud vaja oma imetegu avalikustada, sest ta oli juba kutsutud.
He's already part of the family. He's already part of the wedding. He was invited to be with those
Ta oli juba perekonna liige, ta oli juba kutsutud osa saama kõigest sellest.
So many times God is making lots of miracles in your life, but you don't know because you're already next to him.
Jumal teeb sinu elus palju imesid, aga ta ei avalikusta neid sulle, sellepärast et sa juba oled temaga ühenduses.
Zacchaeus thought that looking at Jesus from far away was good enough.
Zacchaeus hakkas arvas, et vaadata Jeesusele kaugelt teemalt on piisav.
Jesus comes to him and say, "It's not enough. Sitting in a tree or on a bench far away looking at me is not good enough."
Aga Jeesus tuli tema juurde ja andis talle mõista, et mind kuskil teemalt kaugelt vaadata ei ole piisav.
I need to come inside your life. I need to come inside your house. I need to come inside your family.
Minust peab saama osa sinu elust, ma pean tulema sinu koju, kohtuma sinu perekonnaga.
We need to walk together and talk together and have a relationship and that's what's going to make you happy.
Me peame kõndima koos, me peame rääkima koos, meil peab olema suhe ja see on see, mis teeb meid ja sind õnnelikuks.
Stop looking at Jesus from far away.
Lõpeta ainult Jeesuse vaatamine kaugelt.
And invite him inside your heart.
Kutsuda oma südamesse.
And inside your life.
Ja oma ellu.
And in the last story, Jesus creates this whole drama because he needs her to understand that she is part of his family.
Ja selles viimases loos ka Jeesus kutsub selle naise, et ta anda talle mõista, et ka tema on osa Jumala perekonnast.
In which level are you?
Kus tasemel oled sina?
Maybe you're already so near Jesus that all the miracles are happening in your life.
Võibolla sa oled juba Jeesusega nii lähedases suhtes, et kõik need imed, mis sinu elus toimuvad.
Maybe you're watching Jesus from far away for many years, many decades, and he's calling you, come near me.
Aga võibolla sa oled oma elus selles faasis, kus sa vaatad Jeesusele kaugelt eemalt ja Jeesus tegelikult kutsub sind, et tule, kus sa oled, tule lähemale.
Or maybe you're just going to Jesus when we need quick solutions for our earthly problems.
Või äkki sa oppis lähed Jeesuse juurde siis, kui sul on vaja kiiret lahendust oma inimlikule probleemile.
We have a list of prayer requests and we just repeat, give me this and give me that.
Meil on nimekiri palvetest, mida me aina kordame, et anna seda ja anna teist.
And Jesus is saying, yes, I will give you, but there's something else. You need to understand, I'm your dad, I'm your father.
Jeesus ütleb, jah, ma annan sulle, aga sa pead ka midagi muud mõistma. Ma olen sinu isa, ma olen su isa.
My prayer is that we can all come to this connection with Jesus.
Minu palve on, et me kõik võiksime saada sellisesse osadusse Jeesusega.
Understand that we are part of his family.
Ja mõista, et me oleme osa tema perekonnast.
Understand that what he wants the most is connection, is relationship.
Ja et see, mida ta meid kõige rohkem ootab, on suhe.
And allow him to do all the make all the miracles he wants in our lives because he's part of daily life, our daily life.
Ja et ta saaks kõik need imed meie elus esile kutsuda ja teha, et sellepärast, et ta on osa igapäevaselt meie elust.
I'm praying for the church of Tartu.
Ma palvetan Tartu koguduse pärast.
I'm praying for each one of you and your families.
Ja palvetan iga ühe teie pärast teie perekondades.
And I will keep praying so the Holy Spirit can touch your hearts and your minds and you can feel part of God's family.
Ja ma palvetan selle pärast, et püha vaim puudutaks teist ja teie südameid, teie meeli ja võiks olla osa teie elust.
Amen.
Amen.
Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this beautiful day, this beautiful Sabbath morning.
Jeesus, suur tänu sulle sellest imelisest kaunist hingamise päevast.
Thank you for letting us know through nature, through the Bible and through your Holy Spirit how much you love us.
Täname, et oled meile näidanud läbi looduse, läbi pühakirja, läbi püha vaimu, kui väga sa meid armastad.
We want to feel part of your family.
Me soovime olla osa sinu perekonnast.
We want to allow your Holy Spirit to be part of our lives.
Me soovime, et püha vaim võiks olla osa meie elust.
We want to be sensitive to your voice and listen to what you have to tell us.
Tahame olla tundlik kut sinu hääle suhtes ja kuulata, mida sa meile öelda soovid.
I ask you for a special blessing over this church of Tartu.
Ma palun, et sa eriliselt õnnistaksid seda Tartu kogudust.
Be with each one of them during this week.
Ole iga ühega neist selle nädala jooksul.
Call their hearts and minds and let them know how much you love them.
Ole nende meeles, nende südames ja ütle neile, kui väga sa neid armastad.
Touch their lives and help them to give you some time to spend time and create and build a relationship.
Ole nendega ja aita, et nad võiksid aru saada, kui tore on olla Jumal sinuga ühes osaduses.
Help our lives to be the starting, the beginning of an eternity that we want to spend in heaven with you.
Jumal, aita, et meie elu võiks olla algus igavesele elule, mida me saame sinuga igavesti koos elada.
In Jesus' name, thank you so much for listening and already answering each one of our prayers.
Jumal, tänu, et sa kuuled meie palved ja ka juba oled vastanud neile. Amen. Kaunist rahupäeva jätku teile kõigile ja nagu juba öeldi, et siin on täna meil ka ühine armastus söömaaeg, nii et ärge kindlasti ära jookske, saate veel juttu ajada. Jumal õnnistagu teid.